until they're asked for, until the part of the story comes up. Here we go. So reading from Luke chapter 2 this morning. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census would be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph, but where is he? Come and pop him up. Thank you. But Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary. But where is she? You can't have the birth of Jesus without Mary. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. But where is he? We can't have Christmas without Christ having come. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and she placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds. But where is he? We have one shepherd. I should be more careful with my things. Thank you. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, and they were keeping watch over their flocks. There should be a sheep and a donkey. Where are they? No, I meant the figurine. There we go. Thank you, Ezra. Thanks, Jay. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel. But where is he? Have you got the figurine as well, Greg? Thank you. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news that will cause joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has been proclaimed." And so they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary, she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And then reading from the Gospel of Matthew, soon after Jesus was born, some wise men, but where are they? Should be three. As one wise man, two wise men. Three magi. If you're coming in, it's magi. Lovely. Thank you, Faye. Some wise men who learned things from stars came to Jerusalem. Jerusalem from the east, and they asked, "Where is the King of the Jews who has been born? We've seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." And that's why we are here this morning, because some people saw a star in the east, because shepherds heard and did what the angels said to do, to go and find this baby. And the word has gone out ever since. And we are here this morning to worship the Christ child. Amen. Good news is louder than fear. You know, I don't know what your morning was like this morning, how it started, but quiet is not usually an adjective that I use to describe Christmas morning. You know, many of us have been up for a while. I heard that the Thorn family had the first wake up at 1:30 a.m. You know, kids make all kinds of excited noises. And maybe there was an excited husband in your household looking at this new KitchenAid mixer that they can't wait to put on high. Or maybe there was an excited wife revving up the new chainsaw that had been given her. Yet somehow, helped by these beloved Christmas carols that we've just sung, you know, and these the mass-marketed images that are just everywhere of these snow-covered trees, we imagine a sleeping baby and everything hushed and very, very holy. We picture Mary, not just a woman who's just gone through labor, but just sitting there very meek, very mild. And we sing about a silent night. But if we listen carefully to the story that Luke actually tells us, the story that you just helped me illustrate, we hear of events that almost, I can imagine, splitting the sky open. We have angels that shout with joy, glory which echoes across the fields. And there are shepherds who then run down the streets to find this baby they have been told of. And so with the angel's proclamation of glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, there is praise that spills out everywhere. Christmas is loud with joy. And maybe that's exactly what we need in our lives today. Because we live in a world where fear is actually the loudest thing that we often hear. Fear dominates our headlines. It's well known that fear drives algorithms. You know, words that signify an urgent crisis and it's all going down the Googler gets more clicks than one says, "Yeah, we don't know, and it's probably going to be okay." So all of the headlines that we read and we click on are sensational. They stir our fears, they stir our anxieties, because fear keeps us scrolling, it keeps us clicking, it keeps us engaged, and it keeps us consuming. Fear tells us what we need to be afraid of. It tells us what we should be protecting. It tells us what we might lose. Fear takes up an incredible amount of space in our brains. Now, I don't know about you, but at my age, if you're a female especially, you want to know anything about menopause, come and speak to me after. Fear is the thing that says hello at 1 a.m. in the morning. And it says, "No, don't go," at 3 a.m. when I'm desperately trying to get back to sleep again. Fear stays in our bodies. It seeps into our relationships. It stops us from saying yes. question I have this morning is, is this statement actually true? Is good news really louder than fear? Because it doesn't always feel like it, does it? I don't know if you grew up in a parenting era where you were told that it takes 5 positive statements to counteract 1 negative one. But fear is like that as well. Doubt sticks. Negativity sticks. Fear sticks. It lingers and it shapes us. Sometimes it feels like fear has the loudest voice in the room. But today, and this is what I love about Advent and Christmas, today on this holy, joyful, wonderful, disruptive day, Luke dares to tell us a different story. Not a sentimental one, it's not a cozy one, but it's a bold one. Luke tells us the birth of Jesus was in the time of Caesar Augustus. Very deliberately. This isn't a fairy tale. It's not just a story floating in our minds. This was an event that is anchored in history. This is a story grounded in empire, in power and control. There was fear at the time. Caesar claimed to bring peace, but it was peace enforced by domination, peace found in excessive taxation, peace bought by military might, peace through surveillance, peace through control. And into this world, into that system, God didn't send a huge big army. He didn't choose to get a new Navy flagship and call it God Flotilla, whatever. God sends a baby. Not into a palace, not into a place of safety, but into displacement, to experience poverty, to experience vulnerability. You know, Mary and Joseph, they are far from home. And they haven't just made this wild decision to go and spend Christmas with their kinfolk in Bethlehem. They've been told to go there. They've been ordered to move as part of a census to make sure that the correct taxes are being paid by everyone. They're caught up in forces that are far bigger than themselves. And it's in this place that God chooses to show up. Jesus is born not into comfort, but into uncertainty. And then the angels, they break through the algorithms of fear of the day and they give their message not to the powerful, not to the priests, not to the king, not to Caesar, but to shepherds working the night shift. And Luke tells us that they were terrified. And the word that he uses there means they were shaken deeply. They were overwhelmed with fear. And I can't say that I blame them. I've never seen a squadron of angels appear in the sky before me. And that's kind of the other word that Luke uses for them. He uses the word that we use for host, is stratia, which is a military term. It's like an army of angels appear in the sky. And when you are in an occupied country, an army of angels isn't really something that gives you a great sense of peace. It's not usually good news. Thank you. Christmas message in the PowerPoints and things. God did not come, Jesus did not come to rid us of the Herods in our life, of those issues. He came and he said he will be in it with us. Let's see if I can. I go to the yellowy one? My angels. The first words spoken by the angels were, "Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid." And then comes the announcement, "I bring you good news for all people. Great joy." And we've preached on that word good news, you and Jelly, on before. That too is a political word. It was a word that the might of Rome used to announce the birth of a new emperor. Victories, declarations of power. Yet Luke takes that word and he turns it upside down for us today. This is not good news about Caesar. This is good news for us. This is the good news of a God who chooses to arrive not in force, but in flesh. Of God not coming to conquer us, but coming close to us. He's wrapped in a cloth. He's laid in a feeding trough. He's vulnerable. He's small. He's dependent. And yet the angels sing, but not softly as in a lullaby, but gloriously. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Peace. Not the Pax Romana, this peace enforced by fear, but peace that is birthed in love. Jesus, now lying in a manger. Great joy. But fear doesn't disappear from this story altogether, does it? The danger doesn't vanish. The empire remains and risk remains. But the good news breaks in anyway. And it's important for us to hear on Christmas Day, because Christmas doesn't pretend that the world is all fine. It doesn't deny that there are people here who will go away and look at an empty chair this holiday season. It doesn't deny grief. It doesn't deny the conflicts that we have. It doesn't deny the uncertainty or loneliness that we are going through. It doesn't tidy everything up and wrap it beautifully with a red bow. Instead, Christmas declares that God enters the mess. God doesn't wait for the fog and the mist of fear to be gone for us to get it all together. God comes through it. And that's where we get the joy of this morning. It's not a shallow joy setting our hope in a pile of gift boxes or a table heaped with food. And it's not one that ignores our troubles. It's a deep joy rooted in God's presence. And you know, after the sight of those angels, the shepherds don't just stay there and go, "Oh, that was good. That's nice to know." After the angels leave, they say to one another, "Let's go." And Luke says they go with haste. They move, they respond, they act to the message that they have just been told. And they go and they see this thing that's been made known to them. And by the time they find Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger, something shifted. The good news has now really become louder than the fear that they had. Their fears turned into wonder. Shock has turned into praise and awe. And then they do something even more remarkable. they become the first proclaimers of the gospel, the good news, the first witnesses to go out and to tell what they have seen. And when they return to their fields, Luke tells us, they are glorifying and praising God. The world hasn't changed, but by the time they get back to their fields, they have. And that's the pattern of Christmas. The good news of Jesus' birth doesn't erase fear, but it reframes it. The good news of Jesus' coming doesn't silence the darkness, but man, it outshines it. It teaches us that the good news doesn't stay private. It demands to be shared. And that brings us to the challenge of Christmas Day. Because Christmas, this glorious breaking forth of God into our lives with the birth of Jesus, it's not just something we celebrate on one morning. It's something we live throughout the year. You know, the angels proclaimed the good news to the shepherds. The shepherds carried it forth to all who they could find. And here today, the 25th of December, 2026, the story has reached us. And the question is not simply, do we believe that this is good news, the good news for us? The question is, will we live like it is true? In a world trained to amplify and monetize our fear, to make our divisions seem even wider, choosing joy can be a countercultural act. It's an act of rebellion. Because joy isn't naive. Joy isn't denial. Joy is resistance. Joy says fear does not get the final word. Joy says love has entered the story. And joy says that God is really near. The church is called to be an echo of those angels in a world which just hears the fear. The church is called to be not polite and not quiet, not cautious, but courageous. It means being intentional. As you go out from here, as you share meals together, as you gather people around your table, what stories will you tell? What voices will you listen to? What news will you share? Because fear spreads pretty easily. It doesn't need much help. But good news often needs many, many witnesses. It needs people who will say, as they are shearing some turkey or some ham or some Maccas, I've seen hope. I've experienced grace. I know that love is real. And he has come in flesh. Because you see, that's how good news travels. It's not through algorithms. It's through the stories of very ordinary people to others. Telling about the change they've had because of an encounter by God. So, as we celebrate today, however you are celebrating, I'd ask that you remember that Christmas actually asks something of us. Where is God inviting you to live differently because Christ has come? Who around you at the table needs to hear good news, spoken gently, embodied faithfully in someone who is living authentically? shepherds didn't have power or influence in their society, but man, they had a story. And that was enough. But everybody here has a story. It's enough. Fear may be loud, but love is louder. Violence may be strong, but hope, it's stronger. And this world that we're living in, these times may feel uncertain, but God, who is faithful, is here. And that is the joy of Christmas. That's the wonder of the incarnation. And that is the good news that we are called to live and to share. So let us join the angels as we leave from here. Let us, if we are able, run like the shepherds. But when we leave, I know you will make haste. But let us proclaim with our lives, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace. Because Christ is born. Christ is here. Good news is louder than fear.